The Fan is better when you're part of it. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
To decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do.
Sal Licata back on The Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Talking a little Yankees after they get crushed 11-0. Talking Mets and the prospects. Mets getting set to start their 10-game West Coast trip. I always loved the West Coast trips as a young fan, even as a fan, an old fan now, where there's that bonding experience that takes place because it's just you and the team. Everybody else in the house is sleeping. And it's all quiet and, you know, the lights are all off. Everybody say it's, and it's just you and the team. And it's a great bonding experience. I always felt that way. As if you could stay up. Now, I would always remember waking up. You know, I'd fall asleep in the 7th or 8th inning or the 8th or ninth, you know, whatever. Before the game went final, I'd wake up, watch the highlights. Oh, John Franco gave up a game-winning base hit to Tony Gwynn as the Padres beat the Mets 3-2 and whatever it was. But I love the West Coast trips. A great bonding experience. And Mets will get started on their 10-game West Coast trip tomorrow night in Oakland. The other thing we've been talking about, the five winner teams in the postseason. First time since 1994. And what a freaking year that was. Knicks, Nets, Rangers, Islanders, Devils. Now, my colleague over at SNY and former producer, big time, long time producer at NBC, Doug Savchek is on the line right now, and I wanted to have Doug on because I was having great conversation with him. I always have great conversation with him in the SNY newsroom, but he is a huge, diehard Rangers fan, lifelong season ticket holder with the Rangers, and somebody who, like I said, worked, you know, used to produce for Francesa's show at NBC, did a bunch of stuff for the NBA on NBC, which was the best thing. You know, that whole theme song, which is nothing better than that. But he is an encyclopedia when it comes to the Rangers or even those Knicks days. So I wanted Doug to give us a call, and he has right now on his way home from SNY. Doug Savchek joins the show. Doug, how we doing?
Sal, I'm stuck in traffic heading to the GWB, but I'm glad to talk to you again.
Nothing better than that, sitting in traffic, headed toward the GWB, just trying to get home after a long day of work. But now you're on The Fan with me, and we get to talk some puck here. Dude, I mean, is this the year? I mean, 94, there are some similarities here now. Five winner teams in. That last time that happened was the cup-winning year for our Rangers. How you feeling going into this playoff series with the Devils, Doug?
Sal, I love when you talk about 1994. You know that. You know that. Listen, you know, I was thinking about this, and, you know, when last June, after Game 6, the loss in Tampa, right? You know, you sit there and you say, man, it's going to take forever to get back to this point, right? Mm. So you go through the 82-game regular season, and now here we are again, and it's round one against who?
Woo!
The New Jersey Devils. I mean, this is so great. It's so great for hockey in our area, but Rangers Devils, Sal. I mean, come on.
I'm not sure I'm ready for this. It's been a while. And we owe the Ranger fans owe the Devils one for 2012, which I always believe was Lundqvist's opportunity. That was their best shot that year. Unfortunately, they didn't beat the Devils in the Eastern Conference Finals. That was his opportunity. We owe the Devils for that one.
Yeah, my wife and I were at Game 6 in 2012 at The Rock, and Henrique scored that goal. And he celebrated coming into the corner where we were seated, okay? And I remember saying to my wife, Stephanie, let's go. Because usually I'll stay to watch, like, the handshakes, you know, because I love the tradition and all that. I couldn't sit there and watch it. I walked out of that building, and I'll never forget that feeling I had losing to the Devils in their building, overtime, game 6. with a, you know, and then watching the Devils go to the Cup that year. But, you know, listen, this is going to be amazing. I think, let's face it, you know, you and I have been talking for a couple of months now. Who do you want in the first round? Who do you want in the first round, right? And it was pick your poison, because I think both Carolina and the Devils present challenges for this Rangers team. I think every Ranger fan deep down is a little concerned, right?
Well, those normal nerves, right? Normal nerves about facing your hated rival. You don't want to lose. You don't want to lose ever, but to them especially.
Right. And let's face facts. The Devils have had an unbelievable season, right? Every time we thought that they would come back to earth, they didn't. Like, they just kept going and going and going. And you know what, Sal? Their speed is an issue. Like, the Devils' speed gave the Rangers fits in the four games this regular season. And led by, you know, Jack Hughes, like, the speed is going to be a problem here, right? So how do you combat it? Well, the guy, you know, in the nets for us.
Right.
Igor's got to be Igor. You know, Igor's got to be what he was last year. And, you know, it's a little scary, but listen, you know, LGR, baby.
That's LGR, baby. I'm pumped up, though. Come on. I want the same path or similar. You know, the Caps aren't in there, so you can't take them out. And the Canucks, whatever. But I want the Devils and I want the Islanders. I don't care what order it is. I think maybe that's what we need to get back to the top to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup once again.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, your audience needs to know, you know, Sal was dying to make sure the Islanders were in that metropolitan bracket. Like, Sal has a path here, okay? Sal's path to the Cup is first stop Jersey.
That's right, baby. Take those Devils out.
And then second stop at Sal's home sweet home at UBS.
The UBS Arena, baby. I know every inch of that owner's suite. I want to see them crying, all of them. Podvin, all the Trottier, all those guys. Mr. Ledecky, I like. But the rest of the hour, I want to see them all crying in that box.
All right, so Sal, listen, you need to make Ranger fans a promise, okay?
Yeah.
In round two, if we play the Islanders and we beat the Islanders, we need to burn that vest.
All right, okay? Done deal. You have my word, and I like that vest. It fits very nicely. I love it.
Hey, you look good in that vest.
I do look good. It accentuates my arms, which is probably my best attribute physically. You have my word. I like that idea, Doug. If and when the Rangers face the Islanders, when the Rangers eliminate the Islanders, I am going to set fire to that vest and no more Islanders equipment or material, whatever, in my house.
That sounds great. Now, hey, listen, I'm going to throw two names at you, okay? Like, two X factors, I think, for the Rangers here in the playoffs and in this series. You ready?
Yeah.
First off, one of these guys I know you dig, Vincent Trocheck.
Love him.
I think he is going to be an X factor. He's the best face-off guy we have. He's also one of the few forwards that's got a little grit and a little jam to his game. I think he could be an X factor here. I really do, and I think he'll show you why the Rangers gave him that big deal in the offseason. We all remember Ryan Strome from last year. This 16 is better than the 16 we had last year, okay?
Right.
The other guy is, and he's kind of the forgotten guy, but Vladimir Tarasenko.
Mm.
You know, Vlad, Cup experience with St. Louis, tons of playoff experience. You know, that first game at the Garden with the Rangers, he scored the goal, you know, in the first period. The place was going nuts. And then after we got Patrick Kane, it was kind of became a little bit of a forgotten man, I think. But I'm looking for Tarasenko to have a strong series against Jersey and really, really step up and be a terrific Ranger here in the postseason.
I love it. You're right. Everybody focuses on the stars with Kane and obviously, you know, Panarin or Zibanejad or Kreider. But I love that you could go with Trocheck, who's just an absolute gamer, and then Tarasenko, who could be an X factor. Do you worry about the defense at all? I mean, Lindgren's got to be healthy. Where are you looking at a weak spot for this Rangers team? You talk about the speed that the Devils have, but we know the Rangers have Shesterkin, and if he's playing in his game, where are the Rangers? Where's the holes on this team?
Well, you know, and listen, you know, I know how much you love Lindgren. You know, I know we've talked about that stretch of games where he was out, and they certainly missed him, and Adam Fox missed him a ton.
Mm.
Listen, I think defensively the Rangers have some holes. You know, they tend to the games against the Devils, they gave up some unbelievable scoring chances, you know, in all four games. And again, the Devils' speed will lead to odd man rushes against the Rangers. You know, the three on twos, the two on ones. We saw that in the March 30th game at the Rock. The Devils had tons of odd man rushes against the Rangers in that game. The Rangers defensively. Listen, you know, and I know the Rangers can score, right? With that top six, with Mika and Kreider and Kane and Panarin. The Rangers can score, right? But defensively, I don't think they're great. I think that's where the weakness is, and that's where Igor is going to have to stand on his head.
That's what they need. They need that to win the cup. There's no question about that. We're talking with Doug Savchek, producer at SNY, longtime producer at NBC, and produced Mic'd Up. And I think the question that everybody wants to know, Doug, is was that bowl of popcorn real that was in front of Mike all those years?
So I'll tell you. My wife was in charge of the bowl, okay?
Really? That bowl got so much play. Remember that? Everybody would talk about that. Oh, is the candy in there? What's in there?
It was her job each week to come up with something different and creative to put in that massive snack bowl on that coffee table. And you know, we had fun with it. We had a great time with it. Mike would never touch that bowl, okay? He would never dip into that bowl. I don't blame him, but it was so much fun that have, you know, being part of that show and doing that show every Sunday night with Mike. And you know how I feel about Mike, and I think you and I kind of have the same feelings towards him, and he's a legend. And you know, those were some of the best times, best nights of my life.
So. I miss him. Maybe I'll shoot him a text and see if we can get to a Ranger game together. I highly doubt it, but wouldn't that be nice? Hey, Mike, by the way, can you get us a couple? Dougie and I want to come sit with you up on the glass. Where's Barry?
So that leads to the next question, Sal. So we don't know the schedule yet, right? I don't think the NHL has released it. So when are we going to see Sal at the Garden?
Well, that's the thing. I was going to bring that up to you. First of all, are you going to any of the games at the Rock?
I you know what? I kind of got to wait. I need to see the schedule, you know?
Would you plan on, assuming that the schedule allows, were you planning on trying to go to the road game? You'll be at every home game, of course.
Yes. I would most certainly try to get to as many games in Newark as possible, for sure. That, you know, in 2012, I was at a couple of games. In 97, when they played, I was at the clinching game when Graves scored on the wraparound when he beat Brodeur. I think that was game 5. 94, Sal, I was at the Messier Guarantee game, May 25, 1994. I actually sat first row behind the Devil's bench that night with my brother and my girlfriend, who's now my wife. And when Messier led that comeback, we were screaming in the little partition in the glass at the Devil's defenseman. You know, Niedermeyer, you suck. And, you know, that might be the greatest night of my life, actually.
Even more than the Game 7 winning the cup, huh? Or the Game 7 Rangers Devils.
Yeah, the Game 6 Messier game at the Meadowlands stands out for me as the single greatest sporting event that I have ever been to, because of, you know, the history, the guarantee. The 54 year thing, and you know, we were down in that game early, and then, you know, listen, when you're down in that game and in Rangers fashion, those are the games usually you get closed out in, right?
Right.
But that night was just something special, and it was something different, and something I'd never seen before in my life and will never see again. But
I hope that this is, and I love talking hockey with you. You know that in the newsroom, and you're an encyclopedia with the Rangers, and it brings back memories for me, you know, when I was younger watching this team through the 94 playoffs and starting to go to playoff games. My first playoff game was 97. We were reminiscing about that a little bit earlier in the newsroom. Yep. Let's hope, Doug, that this year is another one of those years where we could talk about 10, 15, 20 years from now, thinking back to this 2023 run where the Rangers won another Stanley Cup.
Oh, Sal, that is just, that sounds beautiful to me. I mean, I've been a season ticket holder. This is my 36th year, okay? I'll date myself. I got this season tickets when I was in high school, okay? And 36 years, I've seen a couple of great moments, but unfortunately a lot of bad moments. And hopefully this year, Sal, we have a nice, long Stanley Cup playoff run in us, and you and I could have a great time together in the SNY newsroom. And, I can't wait till next week.
Agreed, Doug. I appreciate the few minutes. Get home safe. Looking forward to seeing you over at SNY. Let's go, Rangers, baby!
Sal, let's go, Rangers!
Let's go, Rangers!
Take care, brother.
Thank you, Doug. See you later. Let's go, Rangers! Igor, there is nothing better than playoff hockey. Islander fans know it. Devils fans know it. Rangers fans know it. There's nothing better than playoff hockey. Delete the Rangers! Delete that. Connor, where is that? That's going to get burnt along with the vest. Oh, that's Fleegs back there. No wonder why. I forgot. Fleegs took over 20 minutes ago. Delete that, Fleegs. How dare you, the Islander fan. Delete
the Rangers!
That was edited.
That was pure. You're lucky I didn't save more from that.
That was edited. I don't remember that. Woo, we're fired up.
Boomer Esiason remembers that.
Oh, no, Boomer, we're good now. I donated. Boomer was appreciative of that. I came in the other day. I saw Boomer in the studio. I was wearing my Rangers jacket, my Rangers T-shirt.
You're ready for every Rangers loss in the postseason for when Jerry plays the highlight and Eddie plays.
Bleep the Rangers!
Oh, no,
I hope they delete that. We got to get rid of that. That's a bad
one. Oh, yeah, Eddie Scazzeri, famous for deleting drops.
Are you, Fleegs, going to go to, Fleegs, of course, a huge Islanders fan, you going to go to any games at UBS? You got to get to one, no?
I would like to. We'll see if I'm able to pull it off.
Or is it the price? Are they out of control or just the schedule? We don't even know
price,
these schedules.
It's a lot of it.
So when are we going to know the schedules here for these teams? We have no, like, are we going to get it tonight, tomorrow morning? Like, come on now. The two games tomorrow are meaningless, right? I got to see if the Stars, I was looking at the
They're definitely meaningless for the Eastern Conference. I don't know if they mean something for the West. But it would just be seeding because the Western teams clinched the eight teams before the East.
The only game, it could just be the top seed. The Stars and the Avalanche, the top two seeds in the West. In the Central, not even in the West. That's Vegas Golden Knights. So it could just be the Central Division that is up for grabs. But I want to see what happened here tonight as I was looking at it. Where Dallas was playing St. Louis. Of course, this mouse isn't working here. Dallas did beat St. Louis. So Dallas won their game, which means that's it. That game means nothing. The Avalanche have a game tomorrow. It should mean nothing because Dallas is now at 108.
So what I'm seeing, the Avalanche are at 107, so they could pass them.
Oh, so the Avalanche won tonight, too.
And the Kraken are fourth in the Pacific right now. They could, if they win and the Kings lose in regulation, they could tie them, and maybe they have the tiebreaker.
Okay, so those games might mean something then in the West, I guess. No, wait.
The Avalanche game will definitely mean something because they're playing for the division.
Right, I forgot the Avalanche play tonight and tomorrow. So the Stars won their game tonight. Had the Avalanche lost, it would have been over, but the Avalanche won, so they can still win that division with a win tomorrow. So, okay, so that game means something. Maybe they're going to wait for it or not. But the scheduling, come on! Especially here in New York, we got the Nets, we got the Knicks, we got the Rangers, Islanders, Devils. We need to find out what's going on here.
At least do what the NBA did. Let us know the official dates and times for game one. And then say we'll figure out the rest in a day or two.
Because we can then map it out basically from there. And this is one thing I didn't get to with Doug right there, but he brought up this great point before, Fleegs, and he knows this stuff, like I said, longtime producer at NBC, and was trying to map it out. There is a, you know, obviously you have the Knicks Friday night, right? Friday night is game three for the Knicks at home at the Garden. Saturday, there is a Billy Joel concert. They cannot do, Doug was telling me, you cannot have a day game and then a concert at night. They can't turn it over that quickly. And then the Knicks scheduled Sunday at 1 for game 4, which means, remember we talked about this the other day.
Well, that was my first thought when I saw the Knicks are an afternoon game on Sunday. That means the Rangers are playing 8 o'clock Sunday night.
So the way that that would work, so I was asking Doug, because I'm trying to buy tickets, hey, when do you think this is going to be? He said, I'm thinking it's going to be Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday.
Which you would think then means the Islanders are going to be like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. You would think they try to split up
could
the local teams as much
though,
as they can.
Could they do Rangers Monday and Tuesday because it's... Or just do Monday, Wednesday.
They've done it before, and they will throw back-to-backs in there, but because some of the series are starting on Tuesday, maybe just... Or they could also do Monday, Wednesday, Friday,
well, no.
Sunday's game four.
Can't do that. Because
right, of the Knicks.
Yeah. So that's why Friday's out, Saturday out. With knowing that, it's either going to be Thursday for game three or Sunday, right? It has to be. So it could be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Right. That's the way. So then it'll be game four Sunday. That's the way they could do.
I think it's more likely they'll do Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday.
Now I'm fascinated by it. And I was looking at tickets. Dude, did you happen to look at the Knicks price for tickets?
No. I mean, the Knicks regular season prices were absurd for a team that finished in fifth place.
You're talking about over $400 to get in.
I mean, listen, people want to waste their money like that. Free country.
I can't do it. But it's different to Rangers Devils. I'll pay $350.
And the Rangers have a chance to win a Stanley Cup.
Or the
Knicks have a chance to win a series.
Right. But still, maybe it's because the Rangers are regulars in the postseason. You know, the Knicks are not. This is 6 years in the last 20, you know, sixth time in the last 20 plus years or whatever it's been. So that's an element too. My issue is not even the price. The price is bad, but it's a crappy seat as well. Like, if that were the price to sit in the 200s, lower 200s, okay, fine. Anywhere for the basketball games that are in the upper 200s, it's a crappy seat. I sat there last year. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it's that bad of a seat in the new garden the way that it is. And you're going to pay $400 for that?
Listen, I
even
love
worse,
going to
maybe?
Games. I met season tickets. I go all the time. There are certain places where they say, oh, there's not a bad seat in the house. Maybe not a bad seat. But there are certain seats where it's a million times better to watch on TV and not spend a dime.
At the Garden for a Hoops game, yes. Rangers, not so bad. But for the Garden, yeah. And there's no bad seat at UBS. At least if there is, I haven't seen it. Although I've been hanging out in the owner suite the last couple of times.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Calls. Sal Licata back on The Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. I know you guys have been holding on a little bit, and I appreciate it. We'll get to you here. Eric is calling from Yonkers. Good morning, Eric. What's on your mind here on this now Friday morning?
Hey, Sal.
Hey, Eric. What's up, dude?
Yeah, how are you? I'm a big fan. Guess what? Guess how big I am. I'm 5'7", 250 pounds.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Anyway, the reason why I was calling, any update on Keith's baby?
No, I do not have one, so I'm not going to speak out of turn here. I'm not sure what the situation is. I just know, I think the last he told me was that they were going to have it this week. So
yeah, I know, that's what I said.
Yeah, but I have not heard. I'll let Keith, I guess, get that message out there, whether we get the company email or whether he tweets it out there or something. So, but
right,
I'm assuming
okay.
Any day.
Just curious, but yeah. Anyway... let me ask you a question. I don't know if you watched the Yankee game in first inning.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Wasn't much
anyway,
of a game. I mean, it was a home run derby.
Yeah, right. It was crazy. Anyway, let me ask you a question. You know, they scored 9 runs in the first inning and 11-0 in the second inning. What would you rather do, lose a game 11-0, or would you rather go to the 16th inning and lose 1-0?
Well, I'd rather have a game, so I'd rather go to the 16th inning and lose 1-0.
Yeah, but then you use all your pitches.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you're asking me from an entertainment standpoint or from a standpoint of, you know, trying to manage through the next day? From an entertaining standpoint, like if you went to that game, if you paid to go to that Yankee game last night
Right.
That's a rough one. At least if you go to a 16-inning game, you get a game. There was no game being played last night. That game was over in the top half of the first.
Right. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Well, from that standpoint, I mean, look, losing a heartbreaker obviously hurts a little bit more than a laugher. But, I mean, for the experience of watching, we didn't really get a game last night, Eric, and thank you for the call. There was no game, which sucks because I wanted to come on and react to the game. It was finally the one game where you don't have to worry about Mets and Yankees playing at the same time. This was a clean cut. Mets are off. Let's go. Let's focus in on the Yankees tonight and come on afterward. And before you can, you know, sit down in your seat, or before you can even get the, you know, the dinner ready and get comfy, it's over. One home run after another. Ken is calling from Queens. What's up, Ken?
Yeah, how you doing, Sal? Before I get to our Mets, I guess we can put to bed there with the superstar Johnny Brito. Everybody was so gung-ho on this guy.
Well, I love Johnny Brito. I think he's going to be fine. Brito's nasty. I mean, he got lit up last night. That's bound to happen for a young kid. Now you got to see how he responds. And only then will we find out what Johnny Brito really is. But the movement on his pitches is nasty.
His fastball, though, comes in pretty straight, though, so that's...
Well, they were flying out of there today straight.
That looks like what they were hitting tonight. His fastball was pretty straight. Anyway, forget about him. I don't really care. Boy, the Jets aren't fooling around already. Brandon Mann, their punter released today.
I saw that. They released Braden Mann. He stinks.
Yeah, I know. There's more to come. Believe me, there'll be more to come with that. Anyway, as far as our Mets... I'll take right now, if you tell me next weekend, by the time they finish this road trip, and they finish 5-5, I'll be happy. I don't know.
See, now, why would you be... You know, you can't, yeah. Why would you be happy with that? Can we talk about this earlier? Isn't it time to raise expectations?
Okay, let me just tell you quickly why. I figure Oakland 2 out of 3. I know everybody says sweep, but you know there's going to be one game that Oakland's going to win. Okay, so 2 out of 3 in Oakland. The Dodgers, they always have problems in Dodger Stadium, so I'm going to give the Dodgers 2 out of 3, okay? And then Frisco, where our friends are waiting for us, Mr. Ross,
yeah.
Mr. Conforto, Mr. Flores.
J.D. Davis.
Series.
Yeah, all right, but I get how you're breaking it down. My point is it shouldn't be. Look, if the Mets go 5-5, you take it and move on. But the expectations for a team with the highest payroll in baseball, for a team that has World Series aspirations, the expectations going in need to be a little bit higher than 5-5. I'm saying 7-3. I'm not saying
the injuries is a different story, but right now, you know, we have some key injuries and that's going to hurt us. And so, like I said, I'll take 5-5, run it with it, and then we'll take it from there when they come back, from the to the homestead.
Yeah, no, and thanks for the call, Ken. No, I'm not buying that. You want to win the division or not? 5-5 is not going to get it done. Playing 500 ball is not going to get it done. Atlanta off to a 9-4 start on the year. You know, the 5-5 is okay, but for the BC Mets before Cohen, this is a new team. This is higher expectations here. Raise those expectations. Now, remember last year we were doubting. What was the situation, please? Because last year we were trying to find out what was going on with this team, where we were at, where we thought that might be the first time that they would get tripped up, where maybe we weren't believing in this Mets team, the injuries that they had going in there. What was it? Remind me, please, because I remember it being a bigger deal last year with the Mets on that 10-game West Coast trip.
Well, last year the West Coast trip was a little bit after Scherzer got hurt. There was already no DeGrom. So,
and they were playing the Dodgers, who didn't lose.
The Dodgers didn't lose, and they were playing the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Angels. So the competition was a little bit different because you had two great teams. And remember, the Angels hadn't completely gone into the tank yet. They were struggling.
Didn't they start hot, and then they cooled off last year?
Right. They had already cooled off, but they weren't Oakland A's terrible. Like,
when
this
was
trip,
that? You went. What month was that?
That was the first week of June into the second week of June.
Okay, there you go. Right. So it's earlier, obviously, way earlier in the season this year.
And it was right after one of the last games or the last weeks before the Mets went on the trip was when they lost Scherzer. So you were going in with not the top two guys in your pitching rotation. Yeah, the Mets don't have Verlander this year, but Scherzer's still there. Senga's there. And again, you're playing in competition. You're playing one really good team, one okay team, and one team that is, without question, the worst in baseball and one of the worst we've seen in years.
That's the big difference. You're right. That last year was twofold. The Mets were banged up legitimately right away going into that series with no Scherzer and DeGrom. And the Dodgers were unbeatable last year, it seemed. And that was the series that really, to me, showed that this team was legit. That Dodgers series, I thought for sure they were going to lose 3 out of 4, maybe get swept. Remember the way that it started, too, where that Friday night game, right, was the way
it was a 4-game series. So it was bad Thursday night game. That was when I think Bassett pitched. Thursday night game was, I forget who pitched, but it was a rough game. Bassett pitched Friday night because I was on the plane. And they were down to, it might have been Taiwan Walker got lit up, but then I was at the Saturday game. That was Peterson pitching. They win. And then Sunday was the extra inning game.
With Medina.
With Medina closing it out. And that was a Trevor Williams start. So they lose the first two games with two of your veterans.
Oh, right. And came back
the top two guys remaining at that time. And then games 3 and 4 with Peterson and Williams. And they salvaged them. And then they ended up losing the series in San Diego before winning the one in L.A., but that was a really encouraging split just to start that off, the 4 games against the Dodgers.
And the Dodgers are not as good this year. And like you said, that the A's to start this, I mean, you got to sweep that series.
I joked to you in the break, like, and I know we say normally 5 and 5, like to me, 6 and 4 is the minimum here because I know you lose games, it's baseball, stuff happens. The Mets, any team that loses to the Oakland A's right now, it's an embarrassment. In the first 13 games of the year, they've given up 101 runs. They're 3-10. Don't lose. They're not starting a single pitcher. Like as banged up as the Mets pitchers are right now and the Yankees pitchers are right now, they don't have a single starting pitcher who could crack either rotations when they're going 7 deep.
Their payroll is almost $300 million less. I mean, it is $58 million.
You know who their big offseason addition was, right?
No, I forget who.
Trevor May and his 9-plus ERA this year.
That's Trevor May is on the A's? I didn't even know that. What did they sign him to?
He gave up runs today against the Orioles.
Oh, he stinks. Yeah, if the Mets don't sweep that series, it's a disappointment. So, yeah, for the reasons Flea just brought up, Dodgers aren't as good. They're off to a slow start anyway. But last year, they're unbeatable. Giants are whatever. And maybe that's a spot where the Mets get into trouble because of all those former Mets, typical. But then they play the A's. The A's stink. 5 and 5, that would not be good. I mean, you take it because anytime on the road, you play 500 on the road, whatever. But no, they got to go higher than that.
And you know who else is in that A's bullpen, right? So May was the big offseason addition, but there's somebody they added more recently.
Who?
Jeurys Familia.
Oh, my God. The A's. Now, didn't he go there? Didn't the Mets trade him there a couple years ago?
That was where they traded him in 2018, yeah.
Right.
Before he came back.
And they brought him back. They got Familia and May. Mets are going to see a lot of former Mets on this trip.
This is going to be the, like, hopefully, before the kids even get here, like, the exercise demon trail. Like, you want to show something to Mets fans, don't lose to a bunch of former Met rejects. And one guy who they never should have let walk in Wilmer Flores. But the other guys, in some form or another, were guys who, maybe excluding Familia because he had his great years, the rest of them could not cut it here. Darren Ruff became the worst player alive when he tried to play in Queens.
And now he's ripping.
Trevor May could not pitch for the New York Mets. J.D. Davis was very up and down last year. He could not hit in a Mets uniform, goes to San Fran, and all of a sudden he's able to hit home runs again.
They gotta
and rake against lefties.
They got to sweep the A's. I'm sorry. It can't be anything less than the A's. Raise your expectations, this 500 stuff. 877-337-6666. Mark is in Red Bank. What's up, Mark?
Hi, Sal.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, very good. You know, I was listening to you the other night, and you were talking about the right call, right?
You're talking about last night?
No, I'm talking, yesterday.
Yeah, when I was on yesterday. Yeah, last night.
Right. Now, the right call.
You're referencing the Cleveland Yankees game with the review and the first inning of that game where the umpires ended up overturning the call and got the call right. Yes.
That's correct.
Right. What about it?
Did the right call end up with the right result, though?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, I'm telling you, you can't replay the game, right?
Right.
You listen to all your calls, they're calling in, and they're, you know, suggesting, you know, it's X, Y, and Z, or whatever it may be. what I'm trying to say is, whether Hicks caught the ball or didn't caught the ball, right? When you go to a replay, can you go back and revisit the game?
You're replaying and reviewing the play that just took place. So
that's correct. So, in other words, you want a simple solution to the problem?
What?
All right, second and third. Review the play. You determine he didn't catch the ball. Then you got to make a determination. Did the guy go from third to home? That's a run. Right,
but I don't understand what you're talking about here. With the play that was under view is whether he caught the ball or not.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Right,
but what I'm trying to say to you is the initial result was
exactly.
Double play.
Right, correct.
Right. Now the initial review was whether the guy scored or not before the guy got thrown out of second.
Well, that's what somebody was saying. I don't know if that's the case. After reading what the umpire said after last night, it was more so that the umps came together, and thank you for the call, and Larry Vanover, the one who got hit in the head and had to get taken to the hospital before this, he had said, hey, we got to correct this. So maybe they were going together to discuss whether or not that runner scored, you know, tagging up would have scored or not before that double play took place, and then that led them to, during that discussion, seeing on the big board here in the crowd, and then Vanover saying, hey, we got to fix this, we got to correct this, and then because they gathered, that gave Francona an opportunity to challenge, so they challenged, and then that's it, the call was overturned, and it turns out to be a base hit as opposed to the double play. I'm not sure what you were getting at exactly on there. One more before we break. Eli is on the train. What's up, Eli?
Hey, sir. How are you, man?
How are you, Eli? Appreciate you taking the time to call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, what's going on, man? What do you call it? First of all, I disagree with you about Judge. I do think it's okay to boo him. I think it's all right to boo him when, when even if he has 62 or runs at all in the season and all, I think it's okay to, it's because it's the postseason. You know, the postseason, I need my stars playing up to their potential and everything, not, you know, freaking out every minute there.
Right, but it was the first game, if memory serves. It was either the first or second game. The Yankee fans are booing Aaron Judge off of a historic record-breaking season.
If that was the case, I don't remember that correctly. I thought we were booing them more in the ALCS when he didn't do anything.
Oh, they were booing him against Cleveland. It was the first series. And thank you for the call, Eli. I appreciate you checking in. It was the first series against Cleveland, right out of the gate. He legit came off of a 62 home run regular season, breaking a record, and he's getting booed in that very next series, the first round of the postseason. No, you can't do that. I'm all for booing players. I would never tell fans what to do. In this particular case, however, I vehemently disagree. You can think about it where, remember John Carl Stanton, his first game, 0-5. Oh, how could Yankee fans boost in? They should boost in. Making a ton of money, not getting the job done. 0-5, 5 strikeouts, you should get booed. Or whatever the exact day was. Maybe it wasn't his first game, but you remember. I have no problem with that. Boo away. But to boo Judge at any point coming off of that year, I don't care if it's the postseason or not. Now, maybe if it were against Houston in the ALCS, down to the final out, whatever. Then maybe you could be like, oh, all right, well, they're frustrated. They're going to lose again to the Astros. That was not the case. This was against Cleveland, first series. And you could boo anybody else. You can't boo Aaron Judge. Not off of that year.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
I'm packed and I'm holding. I'm Robin, she live in, she go then, she lives for me. Says she lives for me, ovation. Who won't motivation? She comes out and she goes by me.
Sal Akata back on the Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Whatever it is you want to discuss on this now Friday morning on the Fan. We've been talking a lot of Yankees. We've been talking some Mets as the Mets get set for their West Coast trip. And what are they going to do with the prospects? Yankees obviously took it on the chin to the Twinkies, which usually doesn't happen. More shocked than anything else. Brito did not look good, to say the least, but he'll be fine. I wouldn't worry about it if I'm Yankees. They'll win three of four here from the Twins. They'll win the next three games and move on after winning another series. I have no doubts about that. And they just got to get some of these guys back healthy in that starting rotation. That's the one area of concern with the Yankees. How long can they hold down the fort until Rodon or Seve come back? Because with Schmidt, Herman, Brito, that could be a little shaky, as you saw last night. And then, of course, talking about the five locals getting to participate in the postseason. Knicks game one Saturday at 6 o'clock. The Nets game one as well Saturday. That's at 1 o'clock, I believe. And then you got the Rangers, Islanders, Devils all in the postseason. Rangers and Devils, of course, will meet head-to-head. We have no idea what that schedule will be. Our buddy Doug Safchak, who we had on before, did text us after the fact that UBS has booked concerts for 420 and 422 so that he would guess that the Islanders series might be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which then you piece in the Rangers and Devils, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, which would be great. That would be perfect. You have a Ranger, an Islander-Ranger game every night. Islanders, Rangers, Devils. Linda's calling from Forest Hills. What's up, Linda?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Hi, Linda. How are you this morning?
Good, good. I'm going to switch it up and talk about some Rangers hockey tonight.
Works for me.
Sal, this must be the toughest path to a cup the Rangers have had since 94. And I remember 94. That's my only championship as a fan, a sports fan.
Well, 94 wasn't tough until the Eastern Conference Finals and, of course, the Cup Finals. Other than that, they swept the Islanders. Beat the Caps in five. Yeah,
Caps in five. But the Devils series was tough in 94, definitely. Mm. But, yeah. What do you think, Sal? Do you think anybody has a shot to beat Boston?
Yes, because I don't believe, we talked about this a little bit last night, a caller brought it up too. You know, the President's Trophy winner, how many times have we seen them fall short? Whether it's, you know, first round or, you know, Eastern Conference Final, whatever it may be. It's not always like you're seeing the President's Trophy winner go out there and win the Stanley Cup every single year. But on paper, Linda, you look at Boston, how are they going to be beat? They lost 12 games all year long. In regulation, so how are they going to possibly, you know, be beat? And
what's funny is, they lost 12 games all season long. The team with the second fewest, up until tonight, of course, was the Rangers, which surprised me.
What do you mean?
The second fewest losses was the Rangers.
That is not correct.
That's what I heard on the broadcast.
You're talking about losses in regulation here.
Regulation losses.
Bruins had 12. The Maple
Rangers,
Leafs.
Up until tonight, had 21.
Oh, up until tonight. Yeah, well, right. Those are the two. Yeah, up until tonight, of course. Yeah, so they were tied with the Canes and the Maple Leafs. Obviously, the Rangers lost. They had 22. The Dallas Stars had 21. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you look at it that way. They were tied with a bunch of teams for the fewest losses in regulation, yes. But they were, and they are not anymore.
Yes,
and they have a bunch
anymore.
More teams in there. You know, with 22 losses, the Rangers are tied with the Devils. Either way, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're talking about 12 losses for the Bruins, a record-breaking 65-win season, 135 points. They are clear-cut. Yeah, they're insane. They're clearly got the best team in the league. So, obviously, they're going to be favorites to go out there and win the Stanley Cup. But it is a hard, hard path to go win that Stanley Cup. And they may have, you know, they may have it easy in the first round, taking on the Florida Panthers, who are that 8 seed. But after that, you know, Toronto or Tampa Bay, that could be a dangerous, very dangerous matchup in that second round.
Definitely. Sal, the Devils scare me. I know they're a young team. And who would have thought, you know, a team coached by Lindy Ruff, who Ranger fans wanted out, you know, when he was here. they do scare me. And they have to. This team has to find a way to stop Jack Hughes, definitely.
Well, look, the speed definitely. Of the Devils, they should be scared. They should be scary, Linda. You should be scared of them. The speed of the Devils is going to be a problem for the Rangers. Devils are good. I mean, if you told me the Devils won this series or if they played out that way, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be crushed. I'd be devastated. Very disappointed. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Devils won this series. However, I believe the Rangers are going to win. I think the Rangers are a better team. They're the more experienced team. And I really do truly believe it's their time. I really think the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup. Justin is in Floral Park. What's up, Justin?
Sally, baby, what's going
on? Dude, where have you been, man? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Such a schedule, my God. It's like, I don't know if you're on days, mornings, afternoon. It's crazy, Sal.
Well, usually overnights, but the last couple weeks has been a little bit all over the place.
It's the utility, man.
Yeah, well.
You're all over the place, but I love it, man.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it.
And whatnot, but,
I'm going to get nestled in.
Like it's 1994 here, Sal.
Correct, Justin.
Let's do it.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the party like it's 1994.
But, yeah, I mean, like the last caller said, the Devils definitely do scare me with the speed. But in the playoffs, you know it gets very tight during playoff time, and that speed can get negated very quickly. The ice gets tilted. And I do like the experience the Rangers have bringing in Tarasenko. I think Kane will hopefully start stepping up because he's been very quiet as a Ranger, Sal, and he's becoming a little bit of a bust. And I think he might have been injured all year, but hopefully, you know, money on the line, he'll step up. We need him. Hopefully Trouba can negate Jack Hughes a little bit, give him some big hits, and
right.
We'll see what happens. And
what you do? You going to a bunch of these games?
Well, I think if game three is, I don't know, if game three is Saturday, I will be there.
Right.
Sunday is going to be tough with the kids, with the sports and everything, but if game three is Saturday, I will be there.
Hey, wait a second. You're choosing your kids' sports over Rangers playoffs?
You'll be there with your daughter. Don't worry.
Oh, I don't know about that, man. I don't know if I could do that. You may be right. I might not have a choice, otherwise I get divorced. But Rangers playoffs, I mean, come on.
I know. I hear you, Sal. Sal, but I'm very confident that they'll get past this round, and we'll talk next round, and I have a feeling that they're going to play the Islanders.
Don't. Oh, baby, so do I. I really do have that feeling.
I think it's setting up like 94. The only difference is, you know, they'd have to probably play the Bruins or Toronto or Tampa in the final, but let's not get there yet.
I'd rather have that. That's fine. I mean, the Capitals are out, so they can't go through that same path anyway, but I'm fine with that, Justin. Look, and by the way, don't be a stranger, will you?
I will call you. Now, Sal, one last thing on the Nickies.
Yeah.
If Donovan Mitchell kills us in this series, Sal, the fact we couldn't trade, you know, Barrett, Grimes, and all those picks is going to haunt us, Sal. So if he single-handedly wins this series for Cleveland, it's going to look really bad for us. Because honestly, top to bottom, we're better than this team. I really think so. Brunson, Randall, I really think that they're better than this team.
Cleveland's good. I'm not going to say the Knicks are better, and thank you for the call, Justin. Good to hear from you. I went to a Ranger game with Justin, I think it was last season, and I feel like I haven't heard from him since. What happened? You didn't have a good time? No, I did actually hear from him since, but then it just kind of went away. I guess life gets in the way, Marco. They get busy, forget about me. Man, never call.
Damn kids.
We had a good time. Anyway, I don't think you could say the Knicks are better than the Cavs. They're good. They're good enough to win. Better than the Cavs, you're disrespecting the talent that the Cleveland Cavaliers had even before they had Donovan Mitchell.